Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Gimel. In this long perek, the Rambam shifts the focus from tshuva itself to the manner in which God judges the individual and the collective, a society or the world as a whole, by weighing merits against sins and either reaching a verdict immediately or delaying judgment to a later point in time. This is the topic of the first half of the perek. In the second half, the Rambam moves to a listing of the 24 types of people who have no share in Olam Haba, though a discussion of what exactly Olam Haba is will wait until Perek Chet. Halacha Aleph. Kol echad v'echad mibnei ha'adam yesh lo zichuyot v'avonot. Mi shezichuyotav yiterot al avonotav, tzadik. Umi sheavonotav yiterot al zichuyotav, rasha. Mechetza l'mechetza, beinoni. A person whose merits outnumber his sins is called a tzaddik. One whose sins outnumber his merits is a rasha, and one who has equal numbers of each is called mediocre, a beinoni. The Rambam continues that we apply the same calculation to a single city or country, a medina, and for that matter to the entire world, based on the sum total of merits and of sins of all of its inhabitants. Later in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam adds that even a tzaddik who has done many mitzvot and amassed a large amount of merits can lose them if he regrets having performed those mitzvot. Halacha Bet, Adam she'avonotav merubin al zuchuyotav, miyad hu meit birisho, shenemar al rov avonech. V'chein medina she'avonoteha merubin, miyad hi ovedet, shenemar zakat sedom va'amora ki rabba. V'chein kol ha'olam kulo, im hayu avonoteha merubin, miyad hein nishchatin, shenemar vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'at ha'adam ba'aretz. An individual who has more sins than merits, the Rasha, dies immediately in his state of being a Rasha. And so too a country is destroyed immediately if its sins outnumber its merits, and similarly for the entire world. It is difficult to understand this statement of the Rambam, for at least two reasons. First of all, in terms of the internal consistency, how do these three parts of the statement fit together? If the world is destroyed when its sins are too numerous, why judge each country individually? How will this make a difference at all? The Lechem Mishnah explains that just as individual tzaddikim can be spared even when their city or country is destroyed for its sins, as we see in the story of Lot being saved from the destruction of Sodom, so too a deserving country can be saved even as most of the world is destroyed. Perhaps more difficult, though, is the glaring contradiction between what the Rambam seems to say here and our everyday experience. As the Ravid points out, there are many Rishaim alive, so how can it be said that the moment a person becomes a Rasha, he dies immediately? The Ravid, rejecting the Rambam, believes that once someone becomes a Rasha, he does not die immediately. Rather, he loses years from whatever lifespan had previously been granted to him. If he was supposed to live to 80, so now he'll live a shorter life. The Kesef Mishnah answers the Ravid's question based on the continuation of the Halacha. V'shikul ze eino lefi minyan hazuchuyot v'avonot, ela lefi godlan, yesh zechut shi keneged kama avonot, shnemar, ya nimsa vo davar tov. V'yesh avon shu keneged kama zechuyot, shnemar, v'chote echad ya'abed tova harbei. V'ein shoklin ela bedato shel kel deot, v'hu hayodea heich orchin hazuchuyot keneged havonot. The calculation of merits versus sins is not a simple one of counting how many of each a person has, or a country, or the world. A merit may be especially strong and count against many sins, and conversely, a sin may be especially severe and cancel out many merits. Only God knows how exactly this calculation works, and so even someone who may seem to us like a Rasha, whose sins far outnumber his merits, may not be evaluated the same way in the eyes of God. This alleviates the problem somewhat. But it is still difficult to believe that all the seeming Rishaim in the world remain alive only because they are actually tzaddikim, or even beinonim, in the eyes of God. The Lechem Mishnah solves the difficulty raised by the Ravid in a different manner, based on the Rambam in the second half of Halacha Gimel. Keshem sheshoklin avonot adam uzchuyotav bishat mitato, kach bechol shana b'shana shoklin avonot kol echad v'echad mibaei haolam im zchuyotav biyom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. Just as a person's sins and merits are weighed against each other when he dies, so too they are weighed against each other every year on Rosh Hashanah. We'll come back in a moment to the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, but just from the very first words of the statement, the Lech Mishnah explains the previous halacha. The Rambam never meant that a person whose sins outnumber his merits at any given moment becomes a Rosha and dies immediately. The weighing of sins against merits is done when a person dies, as the Rambam says here, and the meaning of the words miyad hu meit birisho in halacha bet is to say that at this moment of his death, he dies as a rasha and must suffer punishment for that after his death with no further opportunity for tshuva. So there is no day-to-day judgment, only when a person dies, and as the Rambam adds in this halacha, every year on Rosh Hashanah. The difficulty with this reading of halacha bet is what the parallel understanding is for the cases of a medina and for the entire world. These never die naturally, so when does their judgment take place? This isn't clear, but it stands to reason that in those cases, too, the judgment is sporadic and not repeated on a day-to-day basis. Completing halacha gimel about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, mi shenimtza tzadik nechtam l'chayim, umi shenimtza rasha nechtam l'mita. Va'benoni tolin lo ad yom kippurim. Im asa tshuva nechtam l'chayim, v'im lav nechtam l'mita. The person judged as a tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah is decreed to live. The one judged as a rasha is decreed to die. And for the benoni, judgment is suspended until Yom Kippur, at which point a conclusion is reached based on whether or not he did tshuva during the intervening days. Here again, the difficulty stands out. Many tzaddikim die over the course of a given year, and many rasha'im do not. We mentioned earlier the not completely satisfactory answer of the Kesef Mishnah, that only God truly knows how to assess the sum total of a person's merits and sins to determine if he is a tzaddik or a rasha. The Ramban, in his work Shar HaGmul, suggests a different approach. The judgment on Rosh Hashanah should not be understood to take into account everything about a person. Someone may be a tzaddik in general, and for that will be rewarded in Olam Haba. Someone who is a rasha in general may be punished for his sins in Olam Haba. The judgment on Rosh Hashanah is rendered based on a limited number of a person's actions which he performed since the last Rosh Hashanah, and it is based on those actions that God determines if the person will live or die to the end of the coming year, and how much happiness or suffering he will experience over that time. The ultimate judgment of whether a person is a tzaddik or a rasha, and what reward or punishment he will experience in Olam Haba, has nothing to do, according to the Ramban, with the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What the Rambam just said about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur leads him to elaborate in Halacha Dalid on the importance of tshuva specifically during the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Afal pi shetkiat shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzerata katuv, remez yeshbo. Klomar, uru uru yishenim mishnatchem, v'hakitzu nirdamim mitardematchem, v'chapsu b'maseichem v'chizru b'tshuva, v'zichru b'ra'achem. Elu ha-shochichim et ha-emet b'havlei hazman v'shogim kol shnatam behevel v'rik asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil, habitu l'nafshoteichem, v'hitivu darchichem u'ma'aleleichem, v'yazov kol echad mikem darko ha-ra'a u'ma'chashavto asher lo tova. The Torah doesn't tell us why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And interestingly, the Rambam in Hilchot Shofar says nothing about why we do this mitzvah. But the sound of the shofar is clearly meant to awaken us from our spiritual slumber and call us to focus on our deeds, to do tshuva, and to move ourselves back to the proper path. The Rambam goes on to say that everyone should see himself as a Beinoni, on whose actions during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva depends not only his own fate, but possibly that of his country and indeed of the entire world. He ends the halacha, ומפני עניין זה נהגו כל בית ישראל להרבות בצדקה ובמעשים טובים ולעסוק במצוות מראש השנה ועד יום הכיפורים יותר מכל ימות השנה. ונהגו כולם לקום בלילה בעשרת הימים אלו ולהתפלל בבתי כנסיות בדברי תחנונים ודברי כיבושין עד שיאור היום. This is why the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to be devoted to giving tzedakah and doing mitzvot. And it is why we have the custom of saying slichot from the later part of the night until the morning of each day during that period of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. The Rambam doesn't mention anything about slichot during the month of Elul, but the Shulchan Aruch rules that slichot are said during the entire month of Elul, and this is the practice of Sfardim, and the Rama brings the Ashkenazi custom to begin between 5 and 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam explains that God doesn't count against a person the first 2 times he commits a certain sin. And for the community as a whole, the Tzibor, God sets aside the first 3 times some sin was committed. At the end of the halacha, the Rambam adds that even a Rasha, whose sins are far more numerous than his merits, nonetheless gets a share in Olam Haba, as do almost all Jews, as well as some goyim. Reading the last few lines of Halacha Hey, V'chein kol harusha'im sha'avonotehem merubin, danin otam kafi chatotehem, v'yesh lan chelek l'olam haba, shekol Yisrael yesh lan chelek l'olam haba, af al pi shechatu, shne'mar v'ameich kulam tzadikim l'olam yirshu aretz. Eretz zo mashal, klomar eretz hachayim, v'hi ha'olam haba, The term the Rambam uses at the end of the halacha, chasidei umot ha'olam, is used in the modern era to refer to non-Jews who helped save Jews during the Holocaust. The Rambam refers here, as he explains at greater length at the end of Perak Chet of Hilchot Melachim, to non-Jews who accept upon themselves the seven mitzvot bnei Noach, based on a desire to follow the command of God, and not simply out of practical considerations. These non-Jews are also entitled to a share in Olam Haba. And here the Rambam segues to the other topic of this perek, the list of those who have no share in Olam Haba. Halacha Vav contains a list of 14 people, but then in Halachot Zayin through Yud Gimel, the Rambam subdivides some of them into several kinds of people. So the final tally is 24 people who have no share in Olam Haba. We read the list in Halacha Vav, and then we'll explain each entry in its turn. Ve'elu she'ein lehen chelek l'olam haba, ela nichratin ve'ovdin midonin al godel risham ve'chatatam le'olam ulamei olamim. Haminim, ve'apikorsim, ve'akofrim batorah, ve'akofrim b'tchiyat hamitim, ve'akofrim b'viyat hagoel, ve'hameshumadim, u'machdiyei harabim, ve'haporshim midarchei tzibur, ve'hose avirot b'yad rama b'farhesia kihoyakim, ve'hamosrim u'matelei eima al hatzibur shlo l'shem shamayim, ve'shofchei damim u'valei lashon hara ve'hamoshech orlato. We've made reference before to the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, which he lists in his introduction to Perek Chelek in his commentary on the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. There he says that someone who denies any of the 13 principles has no share in Olam Haba, so we would expect those people to be 13 of the 24 in this list here in Hilchot Tshuva. As we'll see in a moment, that is almost the case. The first category is the Minim, who the Rambam says in Halacha Zayin include five people. He who denies the existence of God, he who denies that there is only one God, he who thinks God has physical form, he who thinks that God didn't create everything and was preceded by some other existence, and he who worships some other entity as an intermediary to God. In other words, as we learned earlier in Sefer Hamada, someone who accepts the premise of Avodah Zarah. These exactly correspond to the first five of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. One who denies any of those first five is called a min. As we mentioned when we first encountered the min in Perek Vav of Hilchot Yesod HaTorah, many Rishonim dispute the Rambam's definition of min, and think the term refers only to a Jew who has adopted Avodah Zarah wholeheartedly. This is relevant for halachot that apply to a min, for instance, the one there in Hilchot Yesod HaTorah, that a Sefer Torah written by a min must be burnt, and other halachot that we'll see later in the Mishnah Torah. The Ravid points out here that many great people who came before the Rambam, or were his contemporaries, believed that God has some kind of physical form, based on a plethora of psukim that speak of God in physical terms. As we saw in Hilchot Yesod HaTorah, the Rambam is aware of those psukim, but he interprets all of them metaphorically. It is important to note, as the Ravid points out, that not all of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith were universally accepted during his lifetime. The next two categories of those who don't have a share in Olam Haba are the Apikoros and the Kofer Batorah, each of which contains three types of people, which the Rambam lists in Halacha Chet. The Apikoros includes one who denies the concept of prophecy and the idea that God communicates with humans, one who denies the unique prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Both of these concepts, prophecy in general and the unique prophecy of Moshe, were discussed at length in Prakim Zayin and Chet of Hilchot Yesod HaTorah. And one who denies God's omniscience, complete knowledge of the human world and everything occurring in it. In other words, the Apikoros is someone who denies either the 6th, 7th, or 10th principle among the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. If a min is guilty of denying God or some critical aspect of God himself, the Apikoros accepts God completely, but denies that God has any connection to the human world, either in communication or in knowledge. Regarding the Apikoros as well, we mention that other Rishonim dispute the Rambam's definition, and believe, as the Gemara seems to say, that the Apikoros is someone who treats Talmid Chachamim with scorn and contempt. Next, the Kofer Batorah. This again includes three types of people: one who denies the divine authorship of the Torah, even if he claims that only one pasuk or one word was written by human hand; one who denies the validity of Torah Shebaal Peh as the only true explanation of the Torah; and one who believes that the Torah can be changed or suspended, as the Christians and Muslims believe. The first of these people denies the eighth of the Rambam's 13 principles. Each of the last two denies the ninth principle, which includes both the acceptance of Torah Shebaal Peh and the immutability of Torah. So this one principle corresponds to two of the 24 in this list who don't have a share in Olam Haba. In the Rambam's original list in Halacha Vav, after the Minim, Apikorsim, and Kofrim B'Torah, come those who deny the ultimate redemption through the arrival of the Mashiach, and those who deny the eventual resurrection of the dead, the last two points being exactly the 12th and 13th of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. So altogether, so far, we have 13 people who have no share in Olam Haba because of their beliefs. But the correspondence to the principles of faith is not exact. These 13 people correspond only to 12 of the 13 principles, with one principle, the ninth, split into two for purposes of this list. Missing here is someone who denies the 11th principle, which is that God grants reward and metes out punishment to a person in accordance with his actions. Nowhere in our perek does the Rambam say that someone who denies this principle has no share in Olam Haba, even though in his list of 13 principles, as we said, he does say that one who denies any of them has no share in Olam Haba. To resolve this difficulty, I think we need only point out that, as the Rambam will explain at length in Prakim Chet and Tet, reward and punishment is Olam Haba. All other forms of reward and punishment are not the real thing, as he'll explain there. So one who denies the 11th principle of reward and punishment indeed does not get Olam Haba, but not as a punishment for his denial of a principle of faith. Rather, simply because he cannot benefit from that which he does not believe in. These are the first 13 of those who have no share in Olam Haba, and we list now briefly the remaining 11 people who the Rambam lists in the remainder of the perek. The Meshumad, of which there are two types that the Rambam defines in Halacha Tet. First, someone who completely ignores some Aveira and violates it even Lahachis, that is, for no tangible gain at all. Second, someone who rejects Torah in general and disassociates from the Jewish community in order to join Gentile society. So these are numbers 14 and 15 in this list of 24. Number 16 is the Machti Harabim, defined in Halacha Yud as someone who leads others to sin, whether by cajoling, forcing, or misleading them. Number 17 is the Porish Midarchi Hatzibur, defined in Halacha Yud Aleph as one who doesn't associate with the Jewish people, even as he remains loyal to the Torah. He keeps mitzvot and refrains from Averot, but he does not associate with the Tzibur in their times of trouble and distress. Number 18, also in Halacha Yud Aleph, is the Megale Panim BaTorah, someone who does Averot in a very brazen and public manner. Numbers 19 and 20 are two kinds of Mosrim, defined in Halacha Yud Bet, one who hands over a Jew to the Goyim to be killed or tortured, and one who hands over the property of a Jew to a Goy. Number 21 is the Matil Eima al Hatzibur Shelo L'Shem Shamayim, defined in Halacha Yud Gimel as someone who utilizes power and intimidation to force concessions from the community for his own benefit. Finally, numbers 22, 23, and 24, which appear at the end of the list we read from Halacha Vav and are not elaborated upon subsequently, are the murderer, the person who speaks Lashon Hara, and finally the Moshech Orlato, one who attempts to hide his circumcision by pulling his foreskin to cover it. In Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam lists several more minor averot, which don't in and of themselves deprive a person of his share in Olam Haba, but Chazal determined that one who makes a habit of any of them may eventually lose that share by falling into one of the aforementioned 24 categories. These include calling someone by an insulting appellation, embarrassing someone in public, treating Talmid Chachamim or one's Rebbe in a scornful and degrading manner, and neglecting to observe the holidays. We conclude with the Rambam's words just before the end of the perek, in which he emphasizes that any of these 24 people, even the worst of them, can regain his share in Olam Haba if he does tshuva before his death, illustrating again the redemptive power of tshuva. B'med dvarim amurim shekol echad me'elu eino chelek Olam Haba b'shemet b'lo tshuva aval im shav me'risho u'met v'hu ba'al tshuva הרי זה מבני העולם הבא, שאין לך דבר שעומד בפני התשובה, Afilu kafar ba'ikar kol yamav uva'achrona shav yesh lo chelek. Shnamar shalom shalom la'rachok v'la'karov amar Hashem urfativ. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.